it's the end of time. And the Mississippi River, she's a gold grind. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see. A woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. We grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those women old boys raised on shotguns. We say grace and we say ma'am. If you ain't into that, we don't give a damn. We came from the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. We can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the Broadway nights, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, 'cause the country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. North California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land. And we can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
Crap.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, blast off!
God's name is going on in here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
Everybody, you're listening to the Overdrive section of the Shaziz Mad Science. We got Justin on here and Thomas on here, and hopefully we can take it somewhere in a different direction as opposed to last couple hours of ranting and yelling and raising a ruckus. But I can't promise anything because I do get rowdy every now and then. But yeah, that's why I call it mad science. You know, back in 1984, I was in the United States Navy. I was a boiler technician, and I learned a whole lot about steam generation and such, electrical and this and that. See, the boilers back in them days were anywhere from 650 PSI to 1250 PSI, right? And you always had to watch. They even had a guy that would stand outside on the deck of the ship and he would watch the color of the smoke coming out of the stack. You know, too much black coming out, you got to tune it back a bit. Too much white coming out, you got to tune it back a bit. So if you exceed that 650 or 1250 PSI, you run the risk of a boiler explosion that would take out the entire boiler room and potentially the ship in itself, blowing a hole in the side of it. So that's something you had to pay attention to. Well, essentially what I've been all these years here doing the mad science is like that relief valve that's right on the top of the boiler system, right? I'm sitting down there, they keep stoking the fire. You know, the intelligent one will stoke the fire a little bit, keep the motivation going, everything's going fine, but the idiot will come along and start shoveling more coal in that thing. And these weren't coal-powered steam machines. I just threw that in there as a poor example. Anyway, we used fuel oil, atomized fuel oil. They sent fuel oil that you could literally drop a cigarette into, lit cigarette, and it wouldn't catch fire. But if you atomize that, then you could burn it just like regular fuel. Either way, that's neither here nor there. I'm standing on top of this boiler, and I'm that little relief valve that every so often, you know, some idiot come along and start putting too much fuel to that thing, and eventually the pressure builds up above the 1250 PSI, and all of a sudden the steam valve just blows its stack, and you hear this, woo! Right? Well, that's essentially what the mad science show is all about. The steam valve is exploding. It's going crazy, you know. It's like, come on, man. At some point, you're going to have to go back to a little bit of common sense. At some point, you're going to have to understand that there are those individuals in this world that just don't care about fixing things. They just want to come around and call you everything but under the sun and probably foul-mouth you, say whatever they got to say, then run off, and so on and so forth. But it's not, no matter how hard they try, they ain't stopped you from believing what it is that you believe. They may have frustrated you, but they haven't stopped you. And you haven't changed your mind. You haven't came over to the dark side just because they won't leave you alone. You know, that's the whole deal about if you can't beat them, join them. God forbid the day I ever decide to go over to the dark side, because the rest of y'all are going to be in trouble. Because I got a few ideas in my head. I can get a little rowdy. I'm not into getting rowdy. Well, I'm sort of getting rowdy. I'm trying to make the world a better place, Thomas. I ain't trying to make it worse. So why has everybody got to feel the need to come in here and cuss me out, man? Any ideas on that?
No. I told you what I thought about all that before, so...
Yeah, you did. So, anyway, so let's take this off down to a different road. What do we know about what do we know? I think we know basic science is pretty much self-explanatory. If you pay attention to nature, nature will show you things. And if you watch what nature does, you know that nature can boil water using heat. You know that if you get cold and you stand next to the heat, then you can get warm. Vice versa, go to the stand in the cold or whatever. Regardless, it's all there. It's all there. Every bit of it's all there in nature. It already shows you everything you need to know. And if we have access to all these different energies that are created naturally, why are we still sitting around having a debate? I'm not going to be no Stan Myers. I'm not going to end up having a freaking heart attack or whatever conspiracy, however you figured out he met his match. But you know for a fact that we're not driving around in cars that run on water. Got to be a reason behind all that. We know it can be done because hydrogen is flammable and oxygen is flammable. And so we know that we can run an internal combustion engine on it. Now, could you run your standard one on there on hydrogen without doing a few modifications? No, you got to do a little bit of this and that. That's where the study comes in. But we know we can burn water. We know that just about any substance under this sun, if atomized, will burn. We know that we can get motion from heat. We know that we can get motion from cold. We know that we can get temperature differences. They got things out there called heat exchangers. The little Peltier element's a prime example of a heat exchanger. You heat one side, you cool the other side, you get electricity out the other side. So with that knowledge right there and all the knowledge that you know about nature, if you know when you step outside, lick your finger and stick it up in the air, you know which way the wind's blowing. All right? You know when the wind blows and when the wind doesn't blow. You know the deserts get hot in the daytime. You know they get cool in the nighttime. And so what's to ever stop you from using all the basic science that you've seen already, that you already know exists, and using it to supplement your electric? You know, like I said before, you could burn candles if you want, and you don't have to pay an electric bill. You could still burn firewood and not have to pay a heating bill. It just means you're going to have to do a little extra work. Since 98.9% of all the individuals out there kind of like the luxury of electricity, we're out here shouting to all four points of the compass, saying that even if the power grid goes down, you can still have that luxury if you want. You just got to pre-plan for it. So, any ideas?
You can still take a candle and light a light bulb with the candle.
Sure you can. Energy travels in waves, man.
Thermalicity, right?
I did an experiment yesterday. And I took in some old crummy little solar panels out of some old crummy outside light systems that charge up during the daytime, and then they give you a light that you can walk by at night. So they sell them everywhere, everything a dollar store for a dollar. And I took four of these, I put them, run them in series with each other, and I'm putting out 16 volts. And then we're not talking about a high wattage system, we're just talking about taking solar and turn it into 16 volts. And then I took that 16 volts, pumped it into a capacitor, and change the frequency from the actual photons of light coming down hitting the material inside the solar panel and changing the frequency, and then sending that frequency over into a capacitor, which then in turn changed the frequency again. Then I sent that frequency down into a TIP42C transistor, otherwise known as the Slayer exciter, the way that they got the circuit built up. And then I sent that energy into a coil system, which strikingly resembles the Tesla coil. Then sent that energy into another waveform out into a fluorescent light bulb, energizing the gas inside that light bulb with wireless energy. So I've proven to myself that I could literally take any frequency of energy and change that frequency, determine on whatever I send it into, the receiver that I sent it into. I could store it, I could use it real time. And so with that said, there are so many different methods by which to tap into the doggone energy that we need to have the luxury, such as lights and heating and cooling and all that kind of stuff. Whew! So what I would propose to the world is, all you brilliant individuals out there doing YouTube videos searching for the holy grail of the free energy device, the zero point, the over unity, and all that kind of stuff, if you seriously want what it is that you're talking about, then why don't we just do it? Anybody? Anybody? It's like that one commercial, number nine.
I thought you were going to do the whole Bueller.
Bueller? Yeah, there you go. Do that one, Bueller.
Anybody?
Anybody? I mean, come on, man. Am I crazy?
Like I said, free energy is how we build it, what we put into it. And we already have. We've built all these power dams and all these windmills all around the world and put up these solar panels. They're ours. The land belongs to us.
Well, see,
we trying to find something when we've already built it all over the place? It's ours. We just don't see it as ours because we assume that we have to pay for it. We don't.
Well, here's the thing, man. The guys that build the hydroelectric dams, big old companies like GE and all the different major power companies out there.
They didn't build it. We built it.
Well, regardless, whoever built it, I don't care. It's there. All right? Now, you know, you're sitting there watching these guys making massive amounts of electricity while letting water run through it, right? And so you say, well, you know, hey, maybe I ought to do that. And so you go downstream and you build you a little mini version of it so you can run your house. Then along comes the man and he takes in a hammer and smashes up your little hydroelectric deal and says, you can't do that. That's against the law. You can't block that. We got this. This is all protected water here. So what about the protected water up there? Because they got like the giant one up there. You should go up there and smash that with your same hammer that you smashed mine with. You see?
Well, they paid to violate that, and you know, that protected area.
Aha! Uh-huh. So membership mm-hmm. has its privileges. If you got the money, you can bribe anybody into getting by with murder, literally.
Mm-hmm.
But the average
we have this thing called a human tick that sits around fat and bloated, sucking the lifeblood out of other people.
Yeah.
And that's where the concentration of them are at.
So why aren't we trying to take these blasphemers down? Why are we not going to their corrupt courts and sending them notices?
That's a good question, man, because it's already been said that if you go up against the government, you're going to lose. Really, it's easy to go up against the government if you know how to do it. You don't have to get violent to do it. All you got to do is stop feeding the beast that is the system that's eating you alive. Such as if anybody had the guts never to pay their taxes and they ran out of money, they couldn't afford to do all the crud that they're doing.
See, if you didn't pay
your taxes, those guys that show up with the guns and the hammers to smash your hydroelectric system, how fast would they be willing to come down and smash that if there was nobody paying them to come and do it?
Yeah. How many cops are going to go work for nothing? They got to feed their family too because they work along the same system you do. All right, they got to go out there and beat you toothless and pepper spray and take away your rights and all that kind of stuff so they can make the money to put the bread on the table. You know, you think these army guys go out there just for patriotism alone? No, they're trying to earn a living. They're trying to get, they were promised they were going to get sent to school after they served their country, you know. So you go out, you do the patriot thing, you serve your country, then you get out of school or get out of the military, and then you go to apply for your deal to go to school, and they say, well, wait a second, you weren't in there long enough. You didn't meet all the requirements, so we can't send you to school. We'll only pay for half of it. That ain't what you said when you started it, me and this whole mess. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's ridiculous. So on one hand they say this and on the other hand they say that. So which hand we got to pay attention to? The one hand we're saying what we like while they slap us with the other hand with the stuff we didn't like. It's what they're doing, man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. Are you kidding? I'm standing behind the curtain keeping my eye on that crook.
Well, I know somebody that was basically promised all these benefits for going and serving, and then when he got back, they turned around and pulled the carpet out from underneath him, too, and now he's having to fight tooth and nail to force them to honor their agreement, like, you know, giving special liberty on loan payments and stuff like that, because, you know, it's not just that he's not here, but he's not able to, he's literally at some point out of contact with the rest of the world and can't do this in order to basically fund and fuel their whole system by being a part of the military. And then he comes back and you're like, well, you still owe us because you didn't make that payment. Like, that's while I was deployed and unable to be reached even by a phone.
Yeah, then they
well,
spell
us out. We don't know what you're talking about. Prove it. Prove it.
That's the whole thing, man. It's like, you know, we used this example quite a while back about, you know, there's this big bad wolf and there's a whole herd of sheep and the big bad wolf is saying, hey, everybody, come on inside the cave here. We're going to have dinner. And a couple of us are standing back saying, you know, hold on a second, guys. Before y'all go rushing up in there, you know, too early. He did say, now, that was pretty nice of him to invite us in for dinner. However, he did not say what was on the menu. You know what I mean? And that's the beast, man. That's the beast that's eating the world alive. You know, people can sit around and argue over whose fault it is, or who's right and who's wrong.
Actually, To Serve Man, the Alien book, is a prime example.
That's a good example. And it didn't say who was on the menu, but the book did. Wait a second, something ain't right here, man. Wait a second. These aliens are nice folks. They're here to serve us. yeah.
Your government's nice, man. They're here to serve you.
I'm not anti-government. I'm anti-corruption. I'm anti-stupidity. I'm anti-lack of common sense.
And then you're anti-government.
Yeah, I guess I am.
Yeah, let's put it this way. You're like 99.99999% anti-government, because that's pretty much all it is now. All
right, well, the 1% is the equivalence of, like, communism, all right? Now, communism, at its core, sounds good. It really does. It sounds like, you know, everybody's taken care of, everybody's got equal, you know, everybody, you know, and you got a government that's going to make sure that nobody gets more than everybody else, that the cake is divided up equally and everybody has
except
their needs met.
Except they don't do
that. Yeah, they don't. What they do is they make sure the government got everything they need, and if you step out of line, oh, well, you're asking for more than you deserve, so we're going to have to do something
about that. I believe the phrase is, of course we're all equal. I am just more equal than you.
Yeah.
You know.
Ain't that the truth, man? But, you know, if you're gonna go out there and you're gonna protest something, and you're gonna have a sign that says "Save the Trees" while you got holding on to a wooden stick that is basically connected to some paper, you kind of like sitting there saving the trees with the tree, man, or something, you know. And you might as well just hold a tree in your hand, spray paint the tree. We don't have an energy crisis. We got a common sense crisis. And I see it. It's simple to me. I threw that link in there about that little wind turbine in the last rent show. This thing works in both directions. Heat up one way and it'll turn it. Air blowing the opposite way, it'll turn it. Who's to say you couldn't take that little turbine that is normally made to cool down the attic of your home or your buildings, build you a black box, set that on top of that, and when the sun beats down on that black box and the heat rises, it turns, all right? So now you got a little solar turbine.
And then the guy comes along and smashes it, like you said.
Yeah, then comes the man with his hammer.
They don't smash things like that anymore. What they do is they show up with a notice that sticks to your door. You owe us tax money for collecting sunlight.
Yeah, see.
Oh, you don't pay it? Then we're going to take your house and your wind turbines and your solar cells and whatnot, and we're going to sell them to somebody else that will pay us.
And under whose authority? See, here in Welland, Ontario, Canada.
That's just it. It's by our authority because we don't put our foot down and say,
that's right.
No. No, you can't. No, you won't. No.
Yeah, I do not consent.
The government is essentially a multi-ton, flesh-driven, three-year-old child that you have to constantly smack its hand because it will not stop unless you do. There is no other way to stop it.
That's
you can't
right.
just move things out of its way because it is so large it can reach everything.
Yeah, and the crazy thing about it is you got this big old giant beast and you paid this beast to go out and buy guns to protect itself, but who's it protecting itself from? You know what I mean? It's protecting itself from you, the people. So you paid for the army that may one day come around and bite you in the behind.
So I said we need a third party called the Transparency Party.
Yeah.
Where everyone can see what's really going on in the internal workings of the government.
And don't say the emperor has no clothes, because it don't matter whether the emperor has no clothes or not. You better believe, know your place and shut your face and believe that emperor is wearing clothes. No matter how terrible you are traumatized by seeing the nudity of the fat man sitting there eating the caviar. Is that a bad visual or what?
Yeah.
God. Yeah, see, they don't, here in Welland, they don't allow us to have windmills. We had one at the Canadian Tire. They were selling them at one point. They had one up in the parking lot, a big one. It was, you know, you can buy them. But then all of a sudden they took it down, and I looked into it, looked into the paper, and they actually banned all windmills from the city. So they're forcing us into their monopoly.
Yeah, but see, what?
But we allow it, just like our taxes. I owe taxes on my house. If I had 100 men come together and stand out in front of my house and not allow them to take what is ours, then...
The question is, Justin, what...
We need an army, basically what the lawyers said, to be sovereign, which is pretty sad.
What is their justification to convince the masses out there that it is in their best interest to ban the solar, their wind turbine? What is it that they are doing for the people that is worthy of telling them... that you can't have a wind turbine? Well, on one hand, they're telling you got to pay us taxes on the carbon because you're killing the planet, but on the other hand, you can't have that windmill. You see what I'm saying?
Everything has a downside that they can exploit. Yeah. Oh, it's killing bats and birds, and we need those. Like the, you know, burning diesel and coal isn't killing plenty of birds, you know?
Can you see
where... What about those animals?
Can you see where that would be even remotely frustrating?
Mm-hmm.
Hypocrisy, man. That's the name of the game. Do as I say and not as I do. Know your place and shut your face. You can always trust your government. Psst. Really? they really did a good job on that whole thing, man. You can see that. Over here in the United States, what are we up to? $27,000 trillion in debt? You know, who knows? It keeps going out. The clock is spinning so fast. You want to talk about free energy? Tap into the national debt, man. You got that puppy kicking along. I bet they have a server on that just to keep up with the clock speed. What do you think?
Well, they're only allowed to have a debt that's that large because we keep letting them print money that has no value, which means that debt has no value. Not one single one of those dollars in that debt has a single bit of value.
So why don't we, instead of going there and spending the U.S. dollar or the yen or the wang or whatever the other names are of all the doggone euro or whatever... Just so everybody go to the store, buy a bunch of freaking Monopoly games, and take all the $500 bills out and go up to the grocery store and purchase our, hey man, here you go, here's my payment. And they're like, this is Monopoly money, you can't use that. Well, what's the difference between this and the other crap that I've been handing you?
Actually, there's a little mem floating around that says, I'd like a Diet Coke. Will be Pepsi be okay? Will Monopoly money be okay?
Yeah, Diet Coke, man. That's another funny one right there. Who you going to go on a diet by taking in some aspartame or some crud, you know? Oh, I got to get healthy. I got to lose weight, man. So I'm going to go on all these diet foods that are either going to clog up my system or give me heart problems or make my eye crooked or whatever. And never mind the fact that my children are going to be born with three ears and crooked limbs or stuff like that. We can deal with that. We got welfare. I'm insane, man. I'm telling you. I'm crazy. I'm two bricks short of a full load. That's it. What do you guys think?
You're closer to a full load than many of those people that we're talking about.
Well, you know, if we wanted to fix it, we could fix it. If the governments of the world wanted to fix it, it would be a done deal. I mean, the earth is 3/4 covered in water. Yet California's crying, woo-hoo, woo-hoo, we got a drought going on. Even while it's raining outside, it's still a drought. We didn't get enough rain. That's why it's still a drought. Are you kidding me? You got thousands of gallons of water pouring down the sewer, heading off down into the sewage system that you could have been collecting and using to fill up your aquifers. And you're sitting there telling me you got a drought? There are individuals out there literally pulling up all the grass in their yard. They're taking all the grass out of the yard and they're putting rock down. And the reason why they're doing this is to have the still the beautification of the whole situation, but no grass to have to water. Are you kidding me? Seriously?
It actually kind of reminds me of New Mexico and how I noticed when I got there that everybody was expending so much effort to have grass in a place that is not really made for having grass, while people back in Pennsylvania, where I had left, that has plenty of water, do everything they can to kill the grass off so that they can have a yard with no grass in it, like with mulch and whatever else.
Isn't that crazy?
All right, they always want what they can't have.
If you live in an area where you can't grow grass, then just
don't have grass.
Just concrete over it, all right? You got a sidewalk, you got a parking lot, all right? And if you live in an area where where you want grass but you can't grow grass, just go out there and buy you some AstroTurf and throw it down, all right? It looks good. You don't have to mow it.
That's what the makers of AstroTurf will have you believe.
Well, if you flip that AstroTurf up and look underneath there, you're going to find out that once you got that AstroTurf down, you're going to have all kinds of bugs and critters crawling up in there, so you're only like less than an eighth of an inch away from freaking creepy crawlies that'll be up underneath that thing. Snakes and lizards and worms and... But it's all right. It looks good. You can lay your face down on that AstroTurf, and as long
not
as
not think about it, not yeah, think about it, don't think about it.
Bugs is like only inches away from your face. If we're going to build a, let's build a laser, not a laser. Let's build a ray, a common sense ray that we can like zap the planet with. All right, and then. And then we get this ray all built up and we zap the entire planet with common sense in hopes that that common sense will actually do something that we've been talking about. What do you think? Wouldn't it be nice if everybody was running around using common sense? You think?
Have a world full of superheroes.
Yeah. I know.
It's so rare. If you're using common sense, it's practically a superpower.
Well, if everyone in the world was a superhero, then everyone would be out saving everybody, right?
There'd be nobody to save then.
Well, then I guess that would be a mission accomplished. One thing for sure, if you're going to be a doggone superhero in the modern day, do not take your what's the word I'm looking for clothing? Fashion skills. Do not take your fashion skills from Batman and Robin and Superman and all that. I know they did good deeds and everything, but there's got to be something wrong with somebody running around with their underwear on the outside of their super suit, man. And they all did it. Why did they all have to run around with their underwear on the outside of their superhero suit? Was it a way for people to say, look, this guy's a superhero, but don't believe it too much? What kind of individual would run around with their underwear on the outside of their Batman or Robin suit?
Maybe they were the first members of the transparency department.
Yeah, there you go. Well, at first I kind of thought about was maybe it was just an oversight on Superman because, you know, Superman, he does things quickly, and he rushed into the phone booth and rushed out of the phone booth and flew up into the air, and he didn't have time to notice that his underoos were on the outside of his Superman suit.
That's all he was wearing, actually. You could claim it was an oversight on his part, though. So if you thought everybody was naked, so, you know, it was just normal.
Well, just like the Emperor has no clothes, the government out there are wearing their underwear on the outside of their suit as basically a mockery in your face. We can do whatever we want. We can be as crazy as we like because you're paying us to do it.
Mm.
Am I wrong?
Paid.
We do. We fund it. We fund it. We fund the wars. We fund everything. All that
there,
money.
There, I was going to say, there is the okay to do what they want.
And then we get up there, we start saying, okay, that's it. We're tired of this war, so we get out there, we protest with our anti-war signs. And they come out, and they use the money that we paid them to have the police beat us up and throw us in jail and have little anti-protest zones. Where you got you can protest over here, but you can't protest next to the congressman that you're protesting. You know, we don't want for his safety, we gotta have him over here. And the news media, they're not gonna come down there to see where you're at unless you're getting rowdy. If you're down there beating each other up and the cops are shooting at you or whatever, or the pepper spraying you, they'll come down and film that and put it on there. Look at these crazy old protesters down here trying to be anti-social and anti-government. The congressman never got the message unless he saw it on TV.
Actually, it's more important problem about all that is congressman doesn't care. He never will.
Why should he?
They're gonna do what they're gonna do. You can protest all you want. They're still gonna do what they're gonna do.
Why should he? He's got your credit card.
Yep.
It's as simple as that, man. That's why they continue to keep doing what they're doing. And the power company, you keep paying the power company and they keep getting stronger and stronger. They got lawyers, epic proportions that can basically turn and twist everything you say because you don't know the terminology of the court. You haven't been in court every single day. You don't know what to say or what not to say. So you got to go out and hire an attorney so you don't open your mouth and hang yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So the system in itself is basically built...
Broken.
Yeah, it's broken. It's built like the casinos, man. The casinos out there.
The house always wins.
Yeah. So it's in the house's favor. Go to court. The cop says you did this.
The tilted. The game is rigged. And, yeah, I mean, you can go down the whole list if you want. Just go look up George Carlin and, you know, what he had to say about all that.
The only disagreement that I had with George Carlin is he had a foul mouth and he delivered his message in a filthy manner. I mean, he could have said it without all that dog.
You know what the problem, though, is? You know what the problem? Hold on. You know what the problem is, though, with delivering it without the filth?
It doesn't have as much impact.
It's a dirty message to begin with.
Yeah.
So he's punctuating it to make sure that people know just how dirty the message really is.
But
the problem is... he delivered clean messages dirtily, too. So it ruined the value of explicative. The best way to basically get your point across to somebody is if you never curse and you suddenly throw out an F-bomb, you got their attention because they're like, oh my God, this person never curses. There must be something wrong. But if there's an F-bomb coming out of your mouth every 2 minutes...
Yeah.
You know, he's just talking again, you know.
It's just standard procedure.
Blah, 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 blah. You know, yeah.
Just standard procedure at that point. You're used to it. Yeah. He's always foul-mouthed. Don't pay him, no, never mind.
Right. So it has no value then at that point.
But, you know, that as far as the alternative energy community out there, man, I love these folks out there. They're brilliant individuals. I just wish somehow or another that somebody, you know, there's enough people out there. If enough people came together to support the alternative energy community and to support each other's community in alternative gardening, alternative medicine, and the people, if the people just worried about supporting one another as opposed to propping up the pyramid that is, you're at the bottom. We're the base of the pyramid. The capstone's at the top. You know, that's the man in charge. Yeah, you know, we fall under his rule there, right? Well, what happens when all the people at the base of the pyramid say, you know what, I've been holding this turkey up in the air forever and a day and it still ain't got nothing accomplished. Everybody at the count of three, you people run to the north, you people run to the south, you people run to the west, and you people run to the east, and let's dump this turkey on its butt. That's what needs to be done. You know? And even if you gradually walk out and slowly lower the beast down to the ground, right? Back down to where you're at, okay? So nobody gets hurt. The system isn't, like, totally thrown out of whack all in one shot. You just gradually build your system. Every time your system gets built, the base of the pyramid gets a little wider at the bottom, and the man at the top's a little closer to the ground. And then whenever you finally get your system built into place, you got your free energy for everybody, you got your alternative gardening, you got all your alternative system, and you're just finally get to the point you can gracefully, calmly, coolly, collectively set the beast on the ground and say, well, you know, here you are, my friend.
You had a good run. It's over.
It's over. Why couldn't we do that? I think that's the
need everybody to get involved in doing that.
There's where your networking comes in. There's where we talked about all these networks out here. You get them in together. You keep doing what it is you're doing. You protect each other. We need an anti-troll army. All right? If somebody's out trolling somebody, we need the anti-trolls to come in there and ship them on down the road. Right? We know people that have the skill set in order to IP block the trolls. You know? It's that simple.
Well, now you're talking about, though, using a smoking gun again.
Well, how do you do it peacefully?
If you're talking about on YouTube, you have the power to block somebody.
Yeah, that's what I do. I just calmly go over there with a little deal,
click
on
delete their message, and block them from the channel completely.
So if everybody out there,
to be honest, if they're getting that up in arms about what you have to say, it's probably not helping them either. Even seeing your content, because that means it's basically causing them, high blood pressure and whatnot.
So you're doing
so
them
you
a
might
favor?
As well just go ahead. Yeah, you're doing them a favor and yourself a favor and everybody else that's a part of your group a favor.
So there is a way to do it. As simple as everybody who's a network owner, keep an eye out in your chat rooms, and if somebody in there just trolling the heck out of somebody and giving them a rash, just reach over, hit the delete, and if necessary, hit the block button. And after a while, the trolls will know that their survival time in a chat room, if they're acting like a knucklehead, is only within 30 seconds of somebody noticing it, and they're gone.
Right. The other thing would be, literally, and this sounds awful, but, you know, form a little more selective of a group of people. Don't necessarily have to be secret, but don't allow people to just join without knowing some credentials about them, you know?
Yeah.
Getting to see a little bit about their history and about who they are, you know?
Well, I'm kind of like
their social media and whatnot and see what they're about.
I'm on the CIA's Facebook and probably the NSA's Twitter and probably the FBI's YouTube, and I'm on all the alphabet soup's social media networks, and so I accept every single friend. They don't care who they are. I don't even ask them who they are. And then I just monitor as I'm going when those friends come in there and they start doing things or posting things on there that are against my moral beliefs or whatever. I just reach over and hit the delete, and if necessary, hit the block, and then I move on. I don't care if the government spies on me, because I wouldn't say anything on there that I ain't saying to you. I'd say directly to their face. So,
right.
You know, but the only way to get the message out in a respectful manner is to understand we do have differences. There's folks out there that ain't going to agree with you no matter how hard you try.
Right.
But one thing we do have to agree on is that when this rock that we live on, this planet, that when it finally goes over the cliff into the abyss, there's really nothing we can do to get back. You know? And they say there's no use crying over spilled milk. Well, let's say we don't spill the milk to begin with.
That's a good idea.
So I think, you know, and maybe I'm crazy for thinking it, I think there is hope in this world, and I think we could make the world a better place. It's just going to be a question of, can we get people to the table of common sense to partake of the buffet that is life in itself? Basic science. It's there, brother. What do you think?
Yeah, I guess I've been trying to get people to network for a while. I'm just kind of burned out at this point. So I figured all the energy I've been spending on trying to get people to work together on things I can invest into just working on what I'm working on, I'll get further, a lot further down the road. I'm going to take the old adage that people are so bored of sitting around and doing nothing that if somebody gets up and starts going somewhere, everyone's going to want to know where they're going and want to follow.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
So
Stephen Gibbons typed in, this is where the Ubuntu movement ideology has fallen down. Michael has traveled the world promoting his idea, but until people see a working version like an energy device, they won't try to build their own version. There are tons of working devices out there. They just don't match up to what people believe should be alternative energy, holy grail of electricity, zero point, over unity. They're looking for something that just does not exist. And it's not that it can't be built, it's that at this point in time, it just does not exist. I got skills in the mechanical realm. I can figure out a piece of machinery and tell you how it's functioning, which way this gear is going, by which way that gear is going, and so on and so forth. But my manufacturing skills aren't that of what, say, Thomas could do on with his CNC mill, or Russ could do with his 3D printer. It's a toolbox. With only one.
Meanwhile, meanwhile, you have 12 acres and lots of shop space and whatnot. I have no shop space, so I can't use my CNC equipment.
Well, you know what? If we can set it down, we can arrange it, we can make it happen, we could literally start building a community on 12 acres of land with your tools and my tools and your knowledge and my knowledge and
you know what my concern is with that?
What's that?
You know what my concern is with that? Who owns the neighboring land? Because at some point, 12 acres is not going to be enough.
Eventually, somebody's going up and sell some of that land, and so save up.
That's the question: is who owns it, and you know how hard would it be to approach them to find out if they'll sell, what the price point is. Everybody will sell. The question is, what's the price point? You know, are they interested in selling, and therefore the price point is, you know, close to what the market value is, or are they not interested, and you're going to have to really shower them with a lot of those green toilet paper pieces of confetti to get them to let go of it.
Here's an idea. I take my 12 acres, I start building a community that is alternative-oriented, a community that basically is working on alternative medicine, alternative gardening, alternative electricity, and I start building my community, and as I can, I begin to expand it out just a little further, and then you're doing the same thing over in your vicinity, and everybody else is, the idea is catching on, everybody's building their own alternative communities, and maybe 10 years down the line, we all meet in the middle, and there we go, we got what we wanted. Because to slam the brakes on the system the way it is, that as it stands, they're going to be one heck of a crash, man. You talk about the stock market dropping down. You talk
about...
Yeah,
I was going to say, it won't have to hit anything else. It'll implode in on itself.
Yeah, but if we're already...
The problem is we're about to hit something else.
That's why
China is buying so much gold right now.
If we already have our infrastructures in place, it's like this. You know, they expect people to panic during a thing like what happened in Katrina and different other places. They expect people to riot like they did over in Ferguson. They expect people to act crazy during times of trouble. But what happens if they got all their military stuff in order and they're standing by, and then the travesty happens, the stock market goes down, and we just keep on going just like we always did? We ain't done nothing. We're not getting rowdy. We're just kind of taking care of our neighbors. And I was standing there and like, wait a second. That ain't what's supposed to happen. They're supposed to get crazy and start fighting. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. I got a question here, Shaziz.
Yeah.
What we walk on is called our Mother Earth, right?
Well, to some people it is. To me, it's the planet Earth.
Planet Earth? Well, to me, it's our mother. It provides us with everything we need. Who gives us the authority to sell her?
Well,
what would that
and
mean?
There you're asking the age-old question that brought about the whole mess here in America and all the strife and dissension between the native people who were here first. And there's no proof that there was ever anyone else here when they got here, and the people who came over in boats. And that includes the people that were drugged along and then willingly went ahead and did what they were told in order to survive.
Yeah.
Okay, it doesn't matter if someone's holding a gun to your head or not. You still have a choice whether to pull the trigger and shoot somebody else. You can tell them, no, screw you, you can shoot me, but I'm not going to become a murderer.
That's right. I always told my kids that they are responsible. Mark is responsible for his actions, Jess is responsible for hers, and Carrie is responsible for hers, and Chris is responsible for his. It doesn't matter what somebody else does to you. What you do from that point on is your choice. If you choose to punch somebody in the face, you chose to punch them in the face. But if you choose to walk away and resolve this in a different manner, that was your choice as well.
And the point is not, you know, trying to make people feel bad for choices that have been made that were out of their control. The point of it is, what are we doing now? What do we do from this point forward? Because what's going on right at this second now, in the now, is our responsibility.
Yep.
You choose to pick up a brick and hit somebody in the head because of the color of their skin, the religion they believe in, the ideology or the scientific beliefs that they have, the party that they vote for, or anything else that they're doing, you are guilty for hitting them with that brick. No one else. No one else. There is nothing you can blame from your past for what you did, because you have the moment. Right now, you can say no and stop your arm. You're the one controlling that arm. You're the one controlling your fist. You're the one controlling the motion of that brick. That brick isn't doing anything. It's not in control. You are.
And there's people out
even
there.
Even that person running their mouth and doing whatever it is they're doing, they're not doing it. They're not the one controlling that arm. You are.
There's people out there that have been abused all their lives, but it takes that person to be the one that breaks the chain.
Exactly, for the cycle to end.
Yep.
And we're not going to reach that. And I'm not talking about the scientific crap that comes from the show. I'm talking about the actual, if you look at the inner dynamic of the people, the way they portray the different races of the different planets and whatnot, and how they interact and work together, the society that they have in Star Trek here on Earth, we're not going to see that until we have a mass awakening where they choose to instead of going forward with the brick, they pull back.
Yep.
And they decide to build a house with that brick instead of hitting that person in the head with it.
Yep.
You got to stop at some point, or there isn't going to be anything left, because we're going to hit a critical mass point where there are so many people on the planet, and we're all, personally requiring in our lives the comforts and the luxuries that come from living in a congested environment, like having electricity, having running water, you know, having IGA or Walmart neighborhood markets or whatever type of store you go to buy your food from, a local store that you can go and just pick up a piece of styrofoam with some steak on it instead of having to go out and actually cut a neck of a steer. And then, you know, slice him up and literally make sure you cut the whole thing up so none of it goes to waste just to get your steak. They don't want to go through all that. They want to just be able to walk in, hand somebody some green toilet paper, and walk away with a steak. Woohoo! Right? So many of these people in these congested systems that they're going to turn on each other the way rats do. If you let them breed to where there are too many in a tank, they will kill their own young. They go insane. You cannot have that many people in that small of a space. Unless we change the dynamic of the mindset.
Well, there's
You've
the
got
thing,
to
man.
Change the dynamic of that mindset, or it's not going to happen. We cannot live like this we change the way we think.
There are thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands, if not trillions, of acres freaking all over the planet that are off limits to people. Now, if people...
Now, listen, though. This is the problem, though, with trying to push for that to be changed. There are way too many people who don't want to be on those acres, because that requires now that they lift an arm and chop wood to make firewood, or, going out and digging a well. Any of these things that are required in order to survive in a situation like that, they don't want to do it.
That's right.
They just want to sit on the couch and watch their Bones show, or their, Green Arrow, or whatever it is that they're into on TV, and just basically consume.
That's right.
They don't want to produce, they want to consume. And if they are forced to produce in order to basically be able to be that consumer, they want to do something as cushy as possible, like just sitting on a phone and listening to somebody complain about how their remote doesn't work and tell them how to fix it.
The key is this, folks.
This is the key to solving the problems that we have in America as far as the economy goes. You need to shut down the Federal Reserve, and we need to start selling American and stop selling America.
Yeah.
We've been selling America for years now, while China buys America, puts a little bit of work into it, and then sells it back to America at a thousandfold of what they paid for it. They buy a pound of steel for like a dollar, and then turn around and make an iPhone out of it and sell it back to us for $500 and get five iPhones out of that pound.
Yep.
You know?
The cattle herder out there has a fence around his property for a reason. He wants to keep everybody in. The cities out there, they got everything they got set up, situated the way they got it, so they can keep you in. They don't want you out in the country. They don't want you to know how to do your own gardening.
And you know what the worst and most effective fence is in all that?
The human mind?
Not the human mind. It's what's in your mind personally as a human being. You as a city dweller, whoever you happen to be out there listening right now. What you want in life versus what you need in life. Just like the little child who wants to eat cake and candy all day. They don't want to eat any spinach. They don't want any steak. They don't want to have to eat something that they don't like the taste of when they can have something sweet. You're living in a city. That means you're living off of the sweets, and it's rotting your brain. And you want that. They don't have to put up a fence. These people are putting the fence up themselves.
That's right.
They're just giving them the opportunity by giving them the materials to build it with.
The drug dealer, he's a pretty smart entrepreneur. The drug dealer will come up to you and he will befriend you, and he will give you some drugs, and he'll say, "Hey, man, there you go. It's free, man. It's on the house, right?" And he'll do
that. It's a sample. It's a sample. Try it out.
Yeah.
Tell me what you think later. Number one. Number two, he won't be caught dead doing it himself.
No, he won't. And then after a while,
success. I should say, your successful drug dealers. Let's correct that. Your successful drug dealers do not do their own product.
And once you get to liking that, and you come back and you ask your buddy, hey friend, you got any more of that good stuff? And he's like, "Well, you've been getting this for free all the time. I ain't in this to not make no money. Here you got to buy this time around."
I'll tell you what, I know somebody who has something that you can trade me for. Here's a brick.
Yeah.
The window on the back of their house, real susceptible to that brick. You go put that brick through that window, pick the brick up afterwards, because you might need it in case they're home and hit them in the back of the head. But you make sure you get that for me, and by that point you're so strung out, you're like, "Sure, I'll do that." You don't even think about the fact you're bashing someone else's head in.
Yep.
You're so saturated with the media that you don't notice you're bashing your friend's house in and beating their head in. When you're angry at the police, that most of them haven't done anything except what they're supposed to be doing. You're angry at them all because of that one person they caught doing something they shouldn't have been doing. That one person.
Yep.
You know what the most effective part of being of the police force is? Presence. Just showing up and being around is enough to keep people from being rowdy for the most part.
Pretty much.
Okay? It's just like that lock on your door is the most effective thing in the world against someone breaking into your house, because people who might have had a slight urge to walk in and take off of something you have will turn away. Only the very determined, which are actually the minimal amount of people out there into thievery and whatnot, will actually say, you know what, I'll find a way to get through that door, and they'll come in. Because no matter what you put in the way of somebody who's really determined, they will find a way to get through that barrier. And that's the mentality that we need, a core group of engineers and designers and dreamers and thinkers and experimenters to get together with, that no matter what barriers thrown in front of us to keep us from getting a solution to these world problems you're talking about, we are going to find a way through them.
I agree, and I tell you what, you want to talk about motivation factory, that would factor into my motivation to be a portion of a group that really seriously wasn't going to allow barriers to slow us down from doing what we know can be done.
Hold on, you mean stop, because they're going to slow you down. The bumpier a road gets, the slower you have to go, but if you're insistent, you keep them wheels rolling, and you will eventually get to where you're trying to get to.
Yeah, I guess
what it won't be rough the whole time.
I guess what I'm trying to say is that if there's any progress moving forward, it beats the aggravation of sitting there watching us spin our wheels in the mud.
And doing, right, or sliding backwards.
Yeah, backsliding, that's the worst go right there, you know. 2 steps forward, 10 steps back, and that's what I've seen in the alternative media, you know. We get on a roll, everybody's
excited.
There's
your first step. There's your first step to those people. They've got to be people that don't watch that crap anymore.
Yep.
Don't feed on that junk food, because that's all it is, that fear porn. Okay? Stay away from that stuff. And don't buy into anyone's hype about what they have that supposedly works, because you've got a lot of false messiahs in the free energy world.
Yeah, you do.
A lot of them. And yeah, you can tell a false messiah in that group, the more people will basically fight anything you've got to say negative about their concepts. You come up with something, you start asking questions about how something works or why it works the way it does, and they immediately get angry about it.
Yep.
If you find a good quantity of people to get angry about it, those people have worshipers.
Well,
and we don't need somebody who's being worshipped. We need somebody who's actively getting success and progress in the direction they're trying to go.
That's why I don't believe.
And hopefully, and not in the progress of, you know, gathering funds.
That's
who cares
why,
about funds?
That's why
funds
I
will
don't.
Come.
I don't believe that I could be classified in that section, because I put ideas on the table, and I want people to discuss it respectfully and see where we can go with it. If it ends up being a no-go, we can't get any further on this particular idea because it simply just not does not work, then we move right along to the next deal. You know what I mean?
Right.
Anyway, let's say we take a music break and refresh and come back and hit this again. Sound good? Yeah? No? Hello? Did I lose you guys? All right, everybody. You're listening to Mad Science. Looks like my call dropped out on me, so I'm going to take us into a music break. So stay tuned. You're listening to Mad Science.
Dirty tricks, you make me sick. Will someone try open up your eyes? You must be blind if you can't see the gaping hole called reality. Wanna do it again? I'm gonna do it again. Wanna do it again? Come on, I'm gonna do it again. Hear me out.
Move your body from left to right. Do all you free from rock to rock. I'll free, rock. in that rock thing. We'll be rocking tonight. So bring your body with you, baby, and I'll make you feel right. It's a freaky celebration of a natural kind, and the pleasure you'll experience will blow your mind.
Starship Enterprise, its continuing mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap!
Ah! Ah!
Operator, give me the number for 911.
21 gigawatts!
All right, everybody, you're listening to Mad Science Show. We're back. Got Thomas on here. We got Justin on here. And we've been talking about all kinds of things to do with common sense. You know, there's a comment in the chat room over there at shazizradio.com/superchat HTML where you can call in or comment for the show or whatever, and there's also the Skype contact where you can call in live if you like. But there's a particular comment in there Stephen Gibbons put in there. He said there's a lot of hype about wireless energy transfer using 2.4 gigahertz signal, but not a lot of people are talking about the detrimental health effects of this frequency. Try growing seeds beside your Wi-Fi router. This is a sample experiment. Proves it is not conducive with life. So, you know, wireless energy in certain forms, certain frequencies aren't really plausible because there are potential health effects that have to do with certain frequencies. However, you don't have to add the entire spectrum of all the different frequencies out there, because energy travels in waves. Waves essentially are frequencies. It's basically the frequency of what, how often the waves come in. You know, 60 hertz is how fast the cycle is going. 60 hertz per second or whatever. And so there are tons and tons and tons of frequencies out there that you can choose from. Any energy wave out there can be stored and turned back into usable power. And even a frequency range as high as 2.4 gigahertz could be used safely if it was designed in a system to where it would be shielded away from, such as like your microwave oven that you have the Faraday cage in front of the door to keep the waves from straying out, so you can still look in and see that your food is spinning around and cooking. Regardless of all that, there are so many different ways to tap into energy that is already prevalent in nature in itself that are not harmful to your health, that are not harmful to nature. And so we have all these different methods by which we could actually get what it is that we need from nature with basically working in harmony with nature. You cram a whole lot of people into a city, and a whole lot of people in the city need to get to and fro work, and so a whole lot of people go out and they get a whole lot of vehicles, and then there's one heck of an economy going on selling fuel and tires and mechanics and oil and all this kind of stuff. Well, the system is doomed to fail from the get-go because, number one, when you cram all those people into one little tightly confined area, that's why you can stand out on the hill in the countryside and look down into the city and it sees like smog. There's a cloud of smog above the city. Now, one doesn't have to be a rocket scientist to understand that that's probably not very healthy for the individuals living within the city.
You know what's also not healthy for those individuals?
What's
that? Sending all the potential income generation that creates that smog to another country.
Oh, yeah.
You look at New York back in 73, and it was covered in smog. It was also extremely productive, meaning they sent products out of New York into the world ready to be used. And now they send nothing out ready to be used. They have an economic problem, an economic depression, and there's no smog.
And I'd be
you know where the smog went? To China. Yeah. You look at the Chinese cities, and they're covered in smog, but they're also sending out tons of product to be used.
And I would be willing to bet that in those cities that are all highly productive, that you could drive down the road and literally smash one of your fancy aluminum alloy rims in half as you hit a chuck hole driving down the streets that are supposed to be maintained by the taxation system that they make the money and they pay the taxes and they're supposed to maintain the roads and the infrastructure and so on and so forth.
So, and what are you using aluminum for a rim for anyway?
Yeah, that's what they think. They think they look
better.
Pretty, man. It looked pretty.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I said. Sweet versus, wholesome. I mean, if something works, then, you know, use it. Don't worry about whether it looks pretty or not. If you've got a material that will never wear out and will give you way better grip on the road, then I don't care if it's all brown. Use it. Don't use something shiny with, you know, black trim and whatnot that's going to break down within a couple weeks just so you can go to the club a couple times and woo a few girls.
Well, you go to the toy store and you buy a toy in the modern day and you look at it, it's made out of plastic and tin and junk. You go back to the antique shop and you look at some of the toys they used to have back in the day that are still...
And they used iron and steel and wood to make everything out of, and it's still useful. It still works.
That's a pretty good example, man. You know, I got a light bulb.
You do have to take into account that the function of those toys is also much simpler than what we expect out of the toys today that are made out of those cheap plastics with cheap electronics and stuff in them.
Yeah, but why couldn't you make them just as good if you took the time to make them quality? There'd be less in the landfill because people would stop throwing
away. And there you see, we have a niche we could be filling right now as Americans to sell American products rather than selling and to the world, not to each other. Buying American is not going to solve our problem. We need to sell American. We need to make the world dependent on our products again the way we were before. Back whenever a Cadillac was a Cadillac and it lasted forever.
Well, and what would be good is if all nations did the same exact thing. All nations competed with the best products. And then you get to a point where the landfills aren't as full anymore. You know? How many thousands of generations do we got to go through before we get it right, you know? If you live in a nice piece of property,
weird obsolescence.
The direction we're going right now, there's no amount of generations that will solve this problem because it will just keep cycling back over onto itself until we're extinct, until something ends up wiping us out, whether it's overpopulation, consuming, you know, something that drives it into extinction that we require for our existence or whatever. We're going to eventually destroy ourselves with the course that we're going on right now. The question isn't when, isn't if, it's when.
Yeah. Okay,
we've
got
to change that mindset, man. That's what I said. Only way to do it, start a support network of people who are sick of living this way and are ready to live differently and help each other maintain our mental aptitude and our mental status on the green instead of being in the red, in the depression, in the anger, in the distraught. Push us back over to the other side where we're actually relaxed, confident. I don't know. I mean, we're not talking overjoyed. You don't have to be jumping up and down for joy over, you know, your life and what you're doing. But just be comfortable with what you're doing now and therefore be able to stay focused and productive in whatever direction it is you're going, whether you're trying to develop a new energy source or you're trying to... come up with a better material for transportation so that basically it doesn't keep breaking down and people don't have to buy more of them. I mean, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. Just be, you know, able to do whatever it is you're trying to do instead of being hindered by your own mind and by the constant inundation from, you know, popular media that's beating your emotional brain down until it's basically nothing but, you know, depressed mush.
I say... live life and love and lead by example. I say that all the time. And it's something to be learned in that whole deal. When you go camping, you usually take a few supplies along with you because you know that there's going to be certain things you're going to encounter when you're going to go camping, such as you might want to stay warm, so you bring a jacket. And so you pretty much know via the campground to go to what the environment's like or going to be like there, and so you plan accordingly. If you want to lead by example, the best way to lead by example is in your own personal community. You already know what your environment is like. You know what needs to be addressed and what doesn't need to be addressed. You know there's tons and tons of information out there in alternative energy, and so if you start to utilize this in your neighborhood, the neighboring towns will look over and they will say, hey, you guys are doing pretty well over there. How'd you go about that? And then you share that information. So you just add it to your network. We do this here on Shazia's Radio and Awake Radio and People to People and Scottish Sovereigns on the Land and 1800 and TCT and all the different radio networks that we affiliate ourselves with and then some, is that we are trying to live and lead by example, hoping that other networks out there will see what we're doing and they'll say, hey, look, you guys are doing pretty good. What you doing there? And we tell them. And so the network continues to grow. It's that idea, you know, that positive pebble in the pond. It's sending the ripples out across the land. What we're doing is frustrating as all get out because we don't see the results as fast as we'd like to see them. But once again, I have to mention
and that is part of the media saturating your mind with expectation.
Yeah.
Which brings, if your expectation is greater than the reality, it's going to bring depression too.
So work.
Without that support network to work together so that we can basically keep ourselves from falling into that depression, you're going to end up falling for it at some point. You know?
Yep. And so that's why I think your network ideas are really good. We need to start finding like-minded individuals and let the other guys and gals out there do what they're going to do, because they're going to do it regardless of whatever. So no need getting frustrated over it. Just bring the like-minded individuals together. Start working towards solutions. Put the solutions out there on the table, and let's just get this thing done, for Pete's sake. I'm tired of talking about free energy. I'm sick of it. It should have already been done. I mean, it's common sense. You see what nature has provided.
When we complete the free energy thing, there'll always be another. There'll basically always be another dragon to slay.
Well, dude, when I get to the end of the free energy deal, I'm going to retire permanently. Everybody else out there going to be up to solving the other issues themselves, because it's been a struggle in itself.
You do know that when you retire, you're not far from dying, right?
Yeah, I'll be all right.
The body and the mind constantly need something to keep it going, to keep it, you know, you got to keep it running to keep the juices lubricated so the machine keeps running well.
When I get to the other side, or if some people are right and I end up being Ben Franklin this next go around, or whatever, you know, I just, look, this world out here, as far as I've been told, because, you know, I see outside the matrix via looking into the matrix. I see outside of my own little circle there, and it looks like people are in trouble, and I'm trying to reach a message to them and say, look, you know, it don't have to be like this. We could, you know, work this thing out. We can live in harmony with each other and nature, and we can get this thing done. When I see people such as government agencies that basically use brute force in order to force people into compliance to do certain things or not do certain things, it makes me sick. When I see people out there being hypocrites and talking about the so-called climate change but doing absolutely nothing to repair it, or the individual protesting with the wooden sign and the paper deal that says save the trees or whatever, I get frustrated. I get frustrated when somebody tells me you got to pay for carbon tax. I get frustrated when I hear people talk about getting taxed on solar and wind and all that. On one hand, they say you got to do this, you got to reduce your carbon footprint, otherwise the planet's going to die. But then on the other hand, they want to punish you for trying to make a difference. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm out there trying to make a difference and I got trolls all over my neck, I got governments nipping at my heels telling me you can't say this, you can't do that, then it's a hindrance. It's aggravation. Mm-hmm. So the next dragon that comes along after we solve this so-called energy crisis dragon, the next person in line is going to have to stand up and duke it out with that one, because I'm out of breath.
Well, and that's the point of the network, is that whenever you do run short of energy, someone else is there to pick up the load and keep it running so we're not sliding backwards.
Yeah. But if you want to drive a car,
and then when you get your wind back and you're ready to jump back into the fight, somebody else can take a break.
Yeah, there'd be some time down along the line when an old dog looks in yet to see how everything's going, and then suddenly I see, you know, look, they're starting to make the same mistake they did back in the past and jump in and say, hey, man, we saw this before. Here, check it out. This is the answer, and keep them motivated. See, that's how the machine works, you know. There are parts in your vehicle that you haven't used in years. You know, there are things that you haven't had to use in years. The bumper jack in your car, prime example. You may have never had a flat tire. You may be on the verge of having a flat tire. But as long as that bumper jack's there, if you ever do have a flat tire, you can utilize it. So I'll be that bumper jack sitting in the trunk after this Dragon Slate, if that's okay.
Sounds good.
But in the meantime, well, let's get through this whole doggone free energy, alternative energy deal. It's out there. It is possible to solve this issue. We've already got all the answers. It's just a matter of taking the knowledge that you've got and the knowledge I got, networking with one another, and keeping the ball rolling and getting it done. You know, if your community is tight on money electric-wise, then go get one solar panel and a few batteries. Hook it up. Now, it may not sound like a lot, but if you're running the lights in that little community with that one solar panel and them batteries, then you're not paying the man for that little bit of juice. And if that works well for you, you take the money that you got saved from not having to pay that for those few lights, and you buy another solar panel the next time around. And you keep continuing to do this until you gradually wean your entire community off the power grid, to where if you're still connected to the power grid, because the man says if you ain't connected, they're going to fine you, you will still have a smaller bill coming in every single month until eventually you're completely off the power grid and they're wondering why you ain't paying no money. That's the easy way to do it. That's the only way to do it. Because none of us have enough money to rush out there and just throw thousands of dollars worth of solar equipment and wind turbines and stuff like that. But what we do have is the capability to rely on our neighbors, if we know our neighbors, and work together hand in hand to at very least supplement the income, supplement the alternative gardening. You know, I grow a bunch of tomatoes on my yard, you grow a bunch of potatoes on yours, and we meet in the middle and we make a stew, that kind of thing.
Yep.
So, it can be done.
That'll do it.
So, did we lose Justin?
I'm not sure.
No, I'm here.
There you are. Okay.
So, what's your thoughts on matter? Don't you say fluvium.
No, solar panels, planned obsolescence. No different than light bulbs. Garbage. The guy down the street, 5 years ago, 4 years ago, he had bought solar panels for his entire house to run the house. He has replaced 3 of the solar panels.
But you know, had
and I told
every
you
year that goes
that
by,
was,
they're
going to
make the solar panel less and less and less, just like your parachutes.
Listen.
Just like your shirt, just like your glasses, just like anything.
Hey, listen, man.
Otherwise, they don't make no money.
Listen, Justin, man, I told you. I think before, I know I can give you the secret to making to change that very same solar cell into being a much longer lasting, at least tenfold lasting solar cell.
Yeah, dip it in water, leave it there.
No.
It'll keep it cool.
No. Throw
your
some
reaction is the
just
solar
just now. Technique. Listen, you just get some UV protectant to go over it. It doesn't matter what the UV protectant is, as long as it blocks the UV light. And allows the visible light to pass through, because the UV light is useless on a solar cell. On your standard silicon boron phosphorus doped solar cell, which is what all those solar cells you see out there that are brittle and they break and they're kind of a really dark kind of metallic blue look to them, those do nothing but make heat with UV rays. And if you put like a piece of Lexan in front of it, all of the light that you see is still getting to the solar cell for the most part. None of the UV rays are getting to it, which means none of the light that's actually being converted into heat and causing a chemical reaction on the surface of the solar cell from this excess heat.
Hey, that's brilliant.
In order to allow the ligands from the phosphorus to break down so that they come loose and form a phosphor oxide on the surface of your solar cell, which no longer produces electricity once that happens.
That's brilliant, because the difference between plexiglass and Lexan is, like, they used to use the plexiglass in, like, different things for windows or whatever, because it doesn't shatter like regular glass. However, after a while, the UV would turn it yellow, and you couldn't see through it.
And Lexan will eventually turn yellow, too, but you're still getting the light particles you need to produce electricity. It will reduce your voltage a little bit, and you'll see initially your amperage will go up a little bit by putting it on. I've done testing on this numerous times. Eventually, like I said, that's going to get worse, but the solar cell itself is not pumping out less power because it's damaged. It's pumping out less power because less light is getting to it.
That's all
that's happening. So you just need to prepare to do your calculations after you do a few tests to find out what the voltage you're getting and what the amperage you're...
Steven said, get a pair of Ray-Bans. Too bad you couldn't get a big old chunk of that stuff that they made them lenses out of. You still there, Thomas? Doggone, did we lose the call again? Sure did. All right, well, we're waiting for him to get back there. And doggone, it must be on Honest Abe's used internet service. Anyway, you're listening to the last portion of the Shazoo's Mad Science Overdrive version there. Justin, do we still have you? Dad, burn it. Let me hang this call up and try to call him back. Do-do-do-do-do-do. Arr, I hate it when that happens. Alright, well, this makes good for radio, don't it? Are you guys there now? Hello! Honest Abe's used ISP service. May I be assistance? Press 1 for English. Press 2 for Espanol. Oh, wow. Anyway, okay, while I'm waiting for this thing to ring out, and it just ain't going to do it probably, in order for us to get to the point where we're going to actually make some difference in this world, we're going to just have to do it ourselves. It's blatantly obvious that the representation that we've had all these years is their track record stinks. That's annoying, man. Turn that volume down there. Okay, I'll wait till that little bubble thing goes. Anyway, to get people to the point where we're actually doing something positive in this world, it's going to be an overwhelming task as far as I've seen so far. And there's probably going to be a few more rants and probably going to be a few more people getting frustrated. Are you guys back yet? Justin? It's like a doggone Twilight Zone movie, man. Yep. Try it again. Ring, 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 ring.
There we go.
Hello?
Okay, well, it looks like we got you back there, yeah.
Yeah, I tried to add you back into the original call, but...
Yeah, it's probably like I'm trying to call you or you're trying to call me kind of thing, man.
It was very weird how that went down like that, because
it happened while I was about to drop the bomb on how to make those solar cells last so you don't have to buy anymore.
Aha! See?
To finish what I was saying, you can make that Lexan, if that's what you're using, last longer by getting yourself a bonnet and some plastic polish like you use for basically making that paint job on your car gleam like it's glass, and go back over that thing and hit it again real quick on your drill. You put the bonnet and the disc on the drill and you spin that thing around with the polish on it and clean up all the stuff like once every 3 or 4 years, and you won't have any problems with that degradation of signal coming to your solar cells. But you're still blocking that UV the whole time, so that those solar cells, instead of lasting, dropping to 10% of their output within 20 years, which is a good solar cell, treated properly with the current methods that they try to sell you on setting it up with, instead you'll be looking at that 10% drop in 200 years.
Well, there you go, man, as there are solutions out there. You know, it's just as simple as this. I'm not going to worry about whether my solar panel only lasts 5 years, 10 years, or whatever. I got one out there that I bought for $20 that I'm sure is pretty old, and it still works. It does just fine. And so I'm sure that that one there is probably 20, 30 years old. So, mm-hmm. You know, as long as it's putting out, then I'll use it. When it doesn't, then I'll buy another one somewhere. And I'm most generally, I look for ones that are antique because the antique ones seem to be made better. So,
there's a lot more energy that was put into make them, too, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So, yeah, what you're talking about is basically deeper pores and deeper penetration of the phosphorus that they dope the surface of it with. Unfortunately, they don't put out as much power. The more power you get a solar cell to put out per square inch, the more, you know, the less tenacious the material is, the easier it is to break down and destroy. So there's a trade-off there.
Well,
working with ineffective materials, though, because they're working with silicon.
Supplement the trade-off with something that, like a wind turbine or a hydroelectric or a thermoelectrics. Look, all we got to do is make it past the finish line. The finish line would be this. Whoever lives near a hydro or a big old river could produce electricity for those that don't. Whoever lives near a volcano could produce steam for those that don't. Whoever living out in the desert has access to a lot of heat and a lot of cool. So whenever it's cold outside, you use that temperature difference and store some heat up during the daytime, and now you could use a big old piezoelectric style or whatever, a Peltier element style panels to, in the daytime, get electricity one direction, in the nighttime, get electricity in the opposite direction. So there's tons and tons of different ideas. It's just a matter of how far you want to take them.
Yep. And another problem with any kind of solar or wind or, well, the hydro generation is pretty good because if you've got a good source of water flow, you're not going to run into problems where you're going to have intermittent flow.
Yeah.
But the sun is only out during the day. The wind only blows sometimes. It doesn't blow all the time, right?
That's right.
And you need a way to store power for the in-between intermittent times whenever there's no energy source.
Yep.
And this is one of those things where I say, go onto YouTube and look up Robert Murray Smith, MURRAY-SMITH. Robert Murray-Smith.
Yep.
Okay? And look at the more recent videos he has out. They are working now on him and a couple, people within, they've started a company up in Canada. He's from the UK. He's working with these people in Canada to produce, and they have a capacitor that's 2 millimeters by 2 millimeters, and it holds more charge than the best supercapacitor that you can get that's bigger, about the size of your thumb. Okay? So they're not that far from having a capacitor. Anyway, they're not that far from having a capacitor that will fit inside of something the size of a shoebox and will hold a megafarad of power.
Yep.
And that means that you can then have a very small storage system that will last 50 years on a good day, 25 years if it's being abused, to and keep your house going.
I just recently did a video called Power Down, all right? And I took a lot of heat on that video, got a few thumbs down, that kind of thing there. But essentially, the capacitors that he's talking about right there could be made in multiple different sizes, and you can use capacitors like clocks, man. A large capacitor will store. A smaller capacitor will store, and they will all time out different as far as the discharge going and how fast they drain. You could use these things to turn things on and turn things off, man. It's just amazing what you can do with a capacitor.
Right. Well, they're just primarily looking at energy storage that won't break down after 3 to 4 years the way lead acid batteries and other types of cells that they're making now break down, and they have to be... You literally, to fix some of that stuff, you have to completely decompile the whole thing, separate all the materials out, reprocess the materials, and then make a whole new battery all over again just to get a storage cell that will give you the power you need. Yeah. And we have the electronic circuitry that will last along with this capacitor to make sure that the battery, the battery type energy you're wanting from your energy source will be mirrored in the capacitor. You won't get a discharge that's this really high voltage and just linearly drops the less power there is in the capacitor until when you're at, like, say, 25% of what the power that's in the capacitor, you're only getting 25% of the voltage. Instead, it'll even that out so that all the way until it's almost completely discharged, you'll still be getting the same voltage that you're expecting out of it. You know, so that it'll act like a battery.
It's amazing
but
stuff.
That's on the front end. On the back end where you're charging it, it's still acting like a capacitor. So any power that's being generated through whatever source of energy you're producing is getting crammed into that capacitor. It's not being lost the way it is with a battery where you push all this power into the battery and a lot of it's just lost energy to heat and whatnot as a chemical reaction is happening inside the battery to recharge the battery. Because you're looking at creating a high energy state compound so that whenever there is no energy being forced into the battery, this high energy compound starts decomposing into a low energy compound, releasing electron flow.
We're down to the last minute of the show, man. And
wow, we did two today, huh?
Yeah, we did.
Of course, I came into the end of the other one.
So. Either way, the important thing is not only go over and check out Robert Murray Smith's YouTube channel, but if there's any alternative energy researchers out there that you believe in, keep them safe. Protect them. Make sure that their information gets spread out so that nobody can suppress their information. Because
the best way to do that, too, is to replicate.
Yep, replicate it. Duplicate it. Try it out.
Yeah, I would say don't get on a rant and, you know, turn into a preacher about their work, because that's what we're looking to avoid. Those kind of people and their followers are the ones we need to get away from.
Yep. Before
don't worship the man. Focus on the technology and replicate it and test it to see if it works, and then let people see the truth.
Exactly. Before you criticize, at least try to utilize. So with that said, we got to go because we're right on the hour, and I got a deal coming up on a marathon coming up next. So hang on there for Wake Radio and all their crew, and they got a marathon coming on. So with that said, peace and love, everybody. You've been listening to Shaziz, Mad Science, and Overdrive. We might have to do this more often, Thomas, because we got some good stuff out there today. What do you think?
It was nice having more time to get into gear.
Yep. All right. Well, y'all take care. Peace and love. Stay tuned. There'll be more Mad Science. Join us for the Knights of the Round Table tomorrow. And with that said, we're out of here.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.